From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Friday, March 15th, so good day maybe to enjoy a Caesar salad along with today's headlines. The state of Vermont took in almost $2 million in revenue from the first 7 weeks of online sports betting. Liquor and Lottery Commissioner Wendy Knight says just over $40 million has been wagered since the program started January 11th. Knight says revised figures show roughly 40% of the bets were made by out-of-staters visiting Vermont. During February, basketball, including pro and college, was the top betting sport, followed by tennis, and then pro football, bolstered by the Super Bowl.
I think the launch is going very well. We have not seen a lot of complaints or issues. We are launched at the right time to generate some good revenue from the get-go.
Knight says the state has also launched its problem gambling awareness programs to identify resources for people who feel they may be developing a gambling addiction. Casella is defending its record after reporting a leachate spill at the Coventry landfill that raised alarms for environmental groups and locals. The spill came from a machine the company is testing as part of a pilot project to remove PFAS, or so-called forever chemicals, from landfill wastewater. Casella says the spill was cleaned up immediately. Speaking on Vermont Edition, CEO John Casella said they're one of a handful of facilities around the country that are pre-treating leachate.
We don't create PFAS. The landfill doesn't create it. It's in everything that we all buy, consumers buy. It's in the landfill in a big way. And we're really out in front spending millions of dollars to be in the forefront from an innovation standpoint to try to solve this problem.
A handful of other states are developing plans to remove PFAS from wastewater. Districts in Franklin, Grand Isle, and Chittenden counties will close schools for the full day when next month's solar eclipse occurs. The Champlain Valley Superintendents Association made the decision after meeting earlier this week. Initially, the association had decided students would attend a half day of school on April 8th, the day of the eclipse, which is expected to occur around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But Beth Cobb, superintendent of the Essex-Westford School District, said they changed course.
You know, what's predicted is around 150,000 visitors to the area, and to put our students and staff even out on the roads there, it seems better just to have them in a place where they're safe and we're not adding to the confusion on the roads.
Cobb says students and staff will make up the day at a later date as if it were a snow day. Addison County School Districts, located further south, are still planning an early release day for their students on April 8th. Spring is just around the corner, which means peregrine falcons are starting to nest. Vermont Fish and Wildlife and Audubon Vermont are asking hikers and rock climbers to be on the lookout for the birds along cliff faces because it's a vulnerable time for the raptors. Overlooks at South Burlington's Red Rocks Park, Salisbury's Rattlesnake Point, and Addison's Snake Mountain are closed to hiking and climbing until August 1st. There are additional closures at Bolted Notch, the Upper Dummerston Quarry, Marshfield, Mount Horrid, and Johnson's Prospect Rock, among other locations. Peregrine falcon populations have rebounded since the early 2000s when they were endangered in Vermont. Scientists say the comeback is thanks to these kinds of conservation efforts. Vermont Fish and Wildlife recommends people enjoy the birds from below using binoculars to observe them from lower stretches of closed trails. Coming up, Nikki Haley suspended her Republican presidential campaign this month, but not before scoring a victory in Vermont, the only state she was able to win. How she pulled it off after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to Vita for their support. Vita, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit veda.org to start your next chapter.
Nikki Haley's supporters in Vermont pulled off what her backers in no other state could do last week, a victory in the Republican presidential primary. They didn't have long to savor the win, though. Fewer than 24 hours after the polls closed in Vermont, Haley announced that she was suspending her campaign. And that's left moderates in the Vermont GOP pondering their next move after failing to prevent Donald Trump from becoming their party's presidential nominee. Vermont Public's Peter Hirschfeld has more.
It was November when Ashley Bartley got her first call from the Haley campaign, inquiring about a potential political operation in Vermont.
The Haley team and I sat down, They said, you know, this is what we're looking to do. We're looking to work on an endorsement and putting together a leadership team. Can you help us? And I said, absolutely.
Bartley is a young Republican lawmaker from Fairfax with a history of working for presidential candidates who are not Donald Trump. She worked for John Kasich's campaign in 2016, and she was eager to play a role for Haley in Vermont.
So what they were doing is they were going to the states and really focusing on the states with an open primary.
The Haley team funneled considerable resources into this state, and in the months leading up to the primary, volunteer supporters were using the campaign's I-360 smartphone app and other outreach tools to connect with likely Haley voters.
Front Porch Forum was our best friend, which is something that's just so different in Vermont than a lot of other states.
They also got the big endorsement they were looking for, from Phil Scott, the most popular governor in the United States. Scott also appeared alongside Haley at a campaign event in South Burlington 2 days before the primary. And it worked. Haley defeated Trump by 4 percentage points here, and then promptly dropped out of the race. For Vermont Republicans like Bartley, it's unclear how they'll redirect the time and energy they'd been pouring into the one candidate they believed could stop Trump.
I'm really not sure where that goes. And I'm personally very concerned about what a Donald Trump presidency would look like again.
So is Mary Evslin, another member of Haley's leadership team in Vermont.
There certainly are a lot of people, I think, who have nowhere to vote now.
Evslin is also at a loss as to what comes next for the Republican-leaning voters who share Democrats' contempt for the former president.
There has to be a lot of people wondering that answer to that question.
Joe Benning is a former Republican state senator and was a GOP nominee for lieutenant governor in 2022. Benning says he joined Haley's leadership team in Vermont because of her platform, but also because of who she was up against.
I looked at the front runner, and I'm hearing the same toxic chaos conspiracy theories that have divided our party horribly.
As for next steps, Benning says he's taking his cue from the former South Carolina governor.
I completely agree with her that the burden is on Donald Trump to win people like me and to unite the Republican Party. I have no idea whether he's capable of doing that.
If Trump can't bridge that division, Benning says, then he thinks Republicans are going to have serious problems in November.
Especially in Vermont.
Governor Scott has said he'll do anything he can to prevent Trump from becoming the Republican nominee. Now that Haley's dropped out of the race, he says the objective is to prevent Trump from becoming president again. Asked what he thinks Vermont Republicans should do to avoid that outcome, Scott offered some suggestions.
Well, don't vote for Donald Trump, number one. Number two, educate your family members. Try and do your research and homework. Hold them accountable for all the things he says and does that aren't accurate.
And Scott says he'll continue his own, quote, resistance whenever the opportunity presents. For Vermont Public, I'm Peter Hirschfeld.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Bob Kinzel, Daniela Fierro, and Abigail Giles. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelyan, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb, and I'll talk to you Monday.
Every episode of Brave Little State begins with a question about Vermont that's been submitted and voted on by listeners like you. What happened to all the restaurant workers? What's the deal with Vermont's fire towers? Why do people like the band Phish? Follow Brave Little State wherever you get podcasts. From Vermont Public, part of the NPR network.